This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Beat me up on the mama's of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Wednesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments and closing costs online in real time? Well, Rocket can. We are your feral swine bomb of sports talk radio, the DA Show, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific, on all these wonderful CBS sports radio stations, Sirius XM Channel 206, and streamed on your phone using the CBS Sports app, the Radio.com app, or Apple Music. Coming up this hour on the show, how about this? We've got Tim Tebow scheduled to join us in 15 minutes. And then Pro Football Hall of Famer James Lofton after that for the NFL on CBS. So we are loaded, and I'm excited about it. I wanted to touch on this Gardner Minshew story that hit yesterday. He's going to be playing the Miami Dolphins coming up tomorrow night. It's a big Jags-Dolphins game on national TV. And when the battle of the Sunshine State minus the Buccaneers is involved, well, you throw out the record books. Jags, Dolphins, and it's next. But in this, you have the battle of Ryan Fitzpatrick and his massive beard. And then you have Gardner Minshew and his Fu Manchu. And for Minshew, I think there's some juice there. You know, Minshew has played very well in these first 2 weeks. And I think maybe we're going to have to back off some of the critique that he was just a flash in the pan, flavor of the month, a Mark the Bird Fidrich, weird guy, one good season, and then that was it. That instead, maybe we've got to give him a little bit more respect than that. And as they're talking about their facial hair to pump up this game, because what else could get you excited about Jags and Dolphins more than the facial hair of the two quarterbacks? Gardner Minshew took a shot saying sometimes you just have to respect your elders, and in this case, very elder. Mraz, you've never liked Gardner Minshew, and yet this is a guy that's fun. He's happy-go-lucky. He's got a weird mustache. He wears jorts. And he's injected some life into that organization. Why don't you like Minshew?
Because I think Gardner Minshew has used his coolness, his swag, if you will, to dupe everybody into thinking he's some kind of legitimate star. He's more of a caricature of himself And I hate anybody that makes a fool of himself or is a caricature of himself. And now I do have to give Mitchell a little bit of credit. I can't be totally blind. He's played well through 2 weeks this year. He really has. He's played a lot better than I would have expected him to play. But everybody last year treated Gardner Minshew like he was the next coming. What a quarterback. What a steal the Jaguars got. And I kind of look at Minshew and said, if he doesn't have the stupid hair and the stupid mustache and is rocking, you know, bell-bottom jeans out into the Scooby-Doo bus, is he going to be somebody that you look at as some kind of real star, or is his image masquerading what he really is, which is just a decent backup quarterback?
Ryan Fitzpatrick said, quote, the mustache versus the beard. I mean, I think the beard is cooler. I think guys that grow mustaches a lot of times have patchy sides for their beards, so they just stick with the mustache. But my wife appreciates the mustache trimmed up a little bit, but she does hate the beard too, so I guess that's a lose-lose for me. Hmm. Minshew said, I'll let mine speak for myself. I'm just going to have respect for my elders. In this case, very elder.
Like, stupid.
Can I tell you what is happening here with Gardner Minshew? Gardner Minshew was a darling of the TV networks and the online media last year because he was the first interesting thing that has ever happened to the Jaguars. And really, you know, in an NFL season, there's 32 teams and everybody clamors over the same series of storylines. Is Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers getting along? Does Tom Brady have what it takes to lead the Patriots back to a Super Bowl? Can Kirk Cousins get over the hump? You know, we have the same storylines every year in the NFL, and those were a lot of last year's storylines. And then the Jaguars seemed to be afterthoughts. They had signed Nick Foles. He was immediately injured. The Jaguars are usually irrelevant, and here comes a backup quarterback that seemed to have more confidence than he was supposed to have, and he looked like Uncle Rico. He had a funky mustache. He had a funny origin story in Washington State. And he was playing to type. He was willing to be weird. And the Jaguars wanted him to be weird because that was the only interesting thing about them. And then TV producers and online journalists and media outlets said, this is interesting because finally there's something interesting going on in Jacksonville. And so I would agree with your point that he leaned into it quite a bit. Had he just played down the middle, straight shooter, no character, no mustache, no getup, no living in a van, no NFL game day features, had he just played it down the middle straight, he wouldn't have the notoriety that he has. But don't let that sway you from realizing he's a pretty good quarterback. I'm not saying he's great. I never did. But I said when he got into last year's Jaguars offense, he gave him some life. He gave him some juice. And this year, you have to be able to say the same exact thing. He's given that team some juice. And isn't that all we're looking for out of a sixth-round draft pick in his second year with the Jaguars, who seem to be trying to tank for Trevor Lawrence? He gave him juice.
They absolutely have juice. There's no doubt about it. They're way more competitive. We all thought this year that they would already be 0-2 and not in it. They're a couple plays away from being 2-0, which is something else. So I do have to yield back my, I guess, vigor. Is that a word?
Yeah, that's a word.
Okay, all right. I used that right. I had to hesitate. For Gardner Minshew, and acknowledge the guy's played pretty well in year two. I would have thought by now defenses maybe would have caught up to him. Maybe it has something to do with the defenses he's played, although the Titans have a damn good one. And now, I don't know, something about him nauseates me, and the fact that on Thursday Night Football, because, of course, we have to get all these bad matchups out of the way while the teams are still in it, like the Dolphins and Jaguars, we are going to have the Minshew Mania angle pumped down our throats so much on Thursday, and I think it just gets tiresome, and maybe people will go, whoa, what's the matter, you don't like fun? There's fun, and there's just, you're an idiot. I don't know. I look at Gardner Minshew, and that just isn't my style of fun. I don't know how to describe it. Just, it bothers me. It
Which
irks
is weird
me
because
in my
you're the first one to want to dress up in some type of cartoonish costume.
Right. Be naked.
You're the first
right.
guy to be on social media trying to draw attention to yourself. You love the fact that Bob's Bars in the New York Post and on SNY. I mean, you're all about all of the things that Minshew does.
Right. I guess maybe Minshew is me with athletic ability, so maybe that bothers me. Maybe I strive to be Gardner Minshew somewhere deep in my soul as we go through a DA therapy session. I guess that's on the table, that I look at Gardner Minshew And you know, if Gardner Minshew's at a wedding and I'm at a wedding, suddenly nobody's looking at me doing the worm. They're looking at him. And I have a problem with that kind of person, I guess. Okay. You know, there's very few people who can out-stupid me out in public. And Minshew is one of those. And he has more given ability. So maybe there is something there where there's maybe some jealousy I have for Minshew. But it annoys me enough. We get it. You love the 70s look. Stop it.
Well, Minshew is at risk of becoming a cartoon. And he needs to worry about that. If he's just Fu Manchu and a bandana and jorts and living in a van, then becoming cartoon is not good for a long shelf life for a football player or a quarterback. But at the moment, he's still performing. At the moment, he's still playing good football. Once that stops, you can't be a cartoon anymore. But for now, I'm going to chalk him up as the quarterback people love to hate. Either you love him because of the personality, or you hate him because of the personality. And either one is good for a Jaguars organization that's been so irrelevant for so long. They go to one AFC championship game and suddenly they think they're hot, you know what, and they collapse again. But for years upon years upon years, they've been 3-13. To give us a reason to care on Thursday night, I think it's a good thing. Gardner Minshew makes you want to actually watch a Jaguars game.
And that's the key, right? Thursday night, Dolphins-Jaguars, the game, I hate to say it, is far more interesting because of Gardner Minshew than it would be otherwise. Like, if this was Blaine Gabbert versus Ryan Fitzpatrick,
Blake Bortles?
Right. You're kind of tuning in because you either love or hate Gardner Minshew or want to see what this clown is all about. And it's maybe it doesn't make that big a difference in ratings. I'm just thinking this very selfishly. But I know that I care more about Jaguars-Dolphins because I hate Gardner Minshew and I love rooting against him.
Dare I say, Gardner Minshew is a better Baker Mayfield.
I mean, wow.
You know, Baker does a lot of self-promotion, gets a lot of attention. Quarterback's a bad football team. I don't know. I mean, maybe Baker's more decorated because of the Heisman, but in the NFL, who's actually been better?
Minshew is. Minshew a better Baker. Interesting. Yeah, I guess if Minshew's on the Browns, do I think of them as a better playoff contender? Probably. Man, you've really backed me into giving Minshew credit now by tying into the Baker Mayfield stuff. I don't like the direction this has gone.
Well, this is like you badgering me over my Mike Glennon take that I thought Mike Glennon could be a starting quarterback in the NFL. So
he was Johnny Unitas, DA. What happened?
It's just a little comeuppance for you. It's just me punching back on Mike Glennon. When we come back here on the show, Tim Tebow is going to join us. Happy Wednesday, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's going to be a good day with DA.
Hey, how's it going, DA? Thanks for making the driving traffic so easy. It feels great.
I feel good, and I'm doing well.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by GEICO. Did you know that right now GEICO is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what GEICO could already save you. What are you waiting for? Visit GEICO.com to learn more. It's time for our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. Jim is in Minnesota and says, DA, what'd you think about Adam Silver saying we're going to start basketball in January of next year? How could they possibly get 82 games in? Well, this is really interesting because at first it was December 1st. Then it became Christmas. Now it's Adam Silver saying we won't start until January. Why? Well, I think a big reason is because they want to push it as far out as possible to get fans in attendance. They believe the longer they push this out, the better the odds are of garnering the capabilities from a health and wellness standpoint to have fans in the building. We're already seeing smattering of fans in football stadiums, and I think that'll continue to increase as arenas and stadiums figure out what works and what doesn't. Hopefully, rapid testing is not just here for athletes and universities, but also here for the rest of us. And treatments get better as well about coronavirus, and who knows, maybe there's a vaccine not far on the horizon. And so I think that the NBA wants to wait as long as possible to try to get fans in attendance, even if it's half capacity, Because what they've said is that it's about 40% of their revenue to have fans in attendance, which is why Adam Silver's going, and we want to play full 82 games. Because what they are planning for is a situation where they can have 41 home dates with fans in attendance. I think that is the big thing they're building towards. Number two, I wouldn't be surprised if the NBA is somewhat intrigued by this new calendar. I don't think they want to play the NBA Finals now. They don't want to play the NBA Finals against football. They don't want to play their conference finals against football and baseball. But I don't think they mind having played big basketball games in July and August. That works for them. It takes them and their early parts of their calendar out of the football shadow. If they start in January following Christmas, we're already into the football playoffs. So there's only a handful of games left. If you start basketball then and you play a full 82, you probably go January, February, March, April, May as the regular season, and then June, July, August for the playoffs, and you wrap up by Labor Day. That's my guess is their plan. It's not the ideal plan because I don't think that they want to start so late in the winter. I think they would probably rather start in December than January, and I don't think they want to push it all the way to August when training camps and NFL preseason would be around, but I don't think they mind continually testing whether summer basketball works from a TV standpoint. Because again, if they can have their NBA playoffs and NBA finals played when numbers are still good on a platform to themselves, because they get that in June of the NBA finals, but they are competing against hockey, but that's not really what they care about. They care about not competing with football in November and December. If they can get out of that shadow and not lose revenue and ratings on the back end when the playoffs are being played, I think the NBA is very interested in that. Very interested. And they should be. I mean, if the NBA owned the summer, we've got Major League Baseball's regular season, but we've seen how that's become more and more irrelevant as the years have gone on. If you have the NBA playoffs in June, July, August, wrapping up by Labor Day, and then you're out of the way and then football kicks off and basketball can still make the money that it wants to make, it helps itself out because the first 2 months of the season is completely swallowed up by football. But I think a lot of it has to do with trying to get 82 games in and having fans in attendance to why Silver keeps pushing off the date of when they're going to start. December 1, Christmas, January 1, now into January. They're hoping for that. Hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS. You know, last night, the Denver Nuggets getting an important victory, obviously, in Game 3, because that was the series, let's face it. If they don't win that game, the series is over. They're not coming back from down 3-1. Nobody's coming back from down 3-1. It's not happening. So, A, they got the performance that they needed. They built a huge lead against the Lakers on a night where LeBron and AD were very good. LeBron and Anthony Davis combined for 57 points last night. Usually that's enough for the Lakers to win. But they didn't get it done because the Nuggets came out, and offensively they were fantastic. Jokic hit a couple of huge shots, and Jamal Murray just went off. And when you look at the Nuggets, what you know is they never say die. They're backed into a corner, doesn't matter. They come out firing, and last night they got it done to save their season. Our next guest is a Heisman Trophy winner. He's also a two-time national champion. He's one of the greatest college football players ever to play, and he's also now working with the All-State AFCA Good Works team, which is so cool because it's highlighting and honoring college football players that are doing good on the football field, but also helping out communities and people in need. And I love stories like this. Joining us this morning on the show is Tim Tebow. Tim, good morning.
Good morning. How are we doing this morning?
Doing great. Thanks so much for joining us. And I love that the AFCA Good Works team didn't only have some of the big names, Trevor Lawrence and Chuba Hubbard and others, but also you've got guys from Howard, from North Carolina Central,
right,
University of Chicago, William Penn. I love the mix of big schools and small schools. How'd you guys pick out some of these guys?
Well, it's really cool because there's 11 FBS, but there's also 11 FCS, and even smaller from D2 to all the way down Division III. And it's so cool because, you know, this award isn't about what you do on the field. That's important, and there's a lot of great awards for that. But this award is for what you do off the field. And in my opinion, that's even more important. And these young men are making such a difference in their communities, in their schools, but also some of them around the world in mission trips through feeding the needy and the hungry and helping kids with special needs. And, I mean, these kids are doing amazing things. And I really think, especially right now, we need to say, you know what? Well done. Good job. We're so proud of you because it matters. And they're making such an impact. I mean, Sam Ellinger has raised almost $200,000 for COVID relief. Luke Fortner has done so many things at Kentucky Children's Hospital. And it's just so cool to see what they're doing and the impacts they're having because they're choosing to say, you know what? It matters. Making a difference. It matters to be able to stand up for kids that are hurting, and they're really doing that, and I'm so proud of them. And that's why I love getting the chance to talk with you about it and be an ambassador for this team, because there are very few awards for this, but I want to celebrate it because I really do believe what they're doing is so special.
The 2020 All-State AFCA Good Works Team, which is very cool. You can check out the entire list. You can go online and also vote. I think it's a really cool situation that we're talking about right now with Tim Tebow. Hashtag Good Works Team. You can go to ESPN.com/Allstate to vote. You know, when it comes to what's going on this year with college football, we've got teams that can't play. The Notre Dame Wake Forest game is going to be postponed this weekend because of positive tests. And I'm wondering, if you were the leader of a team right now in college, how would you try to motivate your players to be disciplined, follow safety guidelines, and make sure they don't put the season at risk of not being played?
Well, it's the only way to be able to live out your dream is to be able to follow the rules and the regimens. And you know, I really believe that a lot of these kids are doing a great job at following it. And, you know, if you're Notre Dame, you really have a chance to, you know, it's pretty much you and Clemson, and that's about it in the ACC. So you're competing for an ACC championship, maybe a national championship, but your team's got to be disciplined because a few people not buying in could ruin it for everybody. And so I think this is where great leaders really got to step up. And I know that they're doing it all around the country. I've talked to a bunch of young men that are encouraging their team, hey, listen, guys, we can't do silly things. We can't put ourselves in harm's way. It's not just about, you know, practicing hard and lifting hard and preparing for the game. It's also about understanding, you know, social distancing, putting on our mask, you know, and not going to places that we don't need to be. And I think there's a lot of kids that are doing it really well right now. And it's a tough situation for a lot of these coaches to handle because it's a new normal. They're trying to figure this out on the fly. And it's tough for the leaders on the team because while they would spend a lot of time maybe preparing for the game, they're also having to spend time, you know, focusing on where do we go? How do we do it? How are we going to do these little things that sometimes in life you take for granted? But right now, to, you know, to keep themselves, their teammates, and everyone around them safe, they got to be very careful. And that's why I really believe, you know, kind of down the stretch, the team that's able to figure that out the best and how they can kind of, you know, put to practice these rules and regimens, I think is going to, and also kind of do it the best is going to really help them down the stretch because football is so much about routines and practices and finding the groove and getting that momentum and building it up to, you know, to really get hot down the stretch. And something like this could totally throw off a great team. And maybe the best team in the country doesn't win it this year because they don't figure out how to be able to manage all these different things. So it is going to be really interesting to see what happens. But I think for you know, for me is just a really big, you know, hope and prayer is that we can keep all these teams safe and competitive and able to really live out their dream.
Tim Tebow is our guest this morning on the show. How about your baseball career? No minor league baseball season this year, a full year off. What's that going to mean for your career?
Well, it definitely was disappointing, but a lot of people in this time have had to deal with a lot more adversity than I have by not being able to play baseball. So to me, there's no comparison. And though while it is disappointing and I would love to have had a season and was so excited because we were getting near the end of spring training and getting ready, like, I don't know, what were you, like 2 weeks away from starting when it got halted, and was really excited about how I was feeling and playing. But, you know, that's part of life and it's part of sports is setbacks and disappointments. So, you know, I don't know what that means, but it just means you know, for me, you just keep going to work and, you know, keep swinging.
Fans are invited to visit ESPN.com/Allstate to vote for the 2020 Allstate AFCA Good Works Team. You can vote for that every day now through November the 22nd, ESPN.com/Allstate to vote. Great stuff. Tim, thanks so much for joining us this morning. I really like this team that you guys put together. I appreciate the time today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thanks for letting me share. Appreciate it so much.
Absolutely. Our pleasure. Tim Tebow joining us this morning here on the show. Now, we have James Lofton, NFL Hall of Famer, who is scheduled to join us from the NFL on CBS. Should we wait on him, guys, or squeeze in a headlines via Andrew Bogish? All right. Bogues has our headlines. AB, what do we got?
DA, we've got the football world losing one of its best. Hall of Fame running back Gale Sayers has passed away at 77. The Bears legend played only 4 full seasons, most of a fifth, because of multiple knee injuries. He scored 22 touchdowns to win Rookie of the Year honors. He was first team All-NFL 5 times, played in 4 Pro Bowls. He went into Canton at just 34 years old, still the youngest player ever enshrined. We have also lost one of the most popular wrestlers of my childhood. Joe Laurinaitis was Animal of the Road Warriors. His son James played in the NFL. Laurinaitis has passed away at just 60. Game 3 of the Western Conference Final last night, the Lakers nearly erased a 20-point fourth quarter hole, getting as close as 3, but lost to the Nuggets 114-106, missing out on a 3-0 series lead. LeBron knows what went wrong.
We had 16 turnovers for 25 points, and we put them to the line 29 times, so it's not going to be winning ingredients for us if we continue to do that.
It didn't help that Jamal Murray scored 28 points with 12 assists. Game 4 is tomorrow night. The Celtics and Heat played their game 4 tonight, 8:30 Eastern. Brad Stevens didn't mess up on Saturday, so Boston won to avoid an 0-3 hole. What's the forecast for Edmonton tonight? A star-filled night or more thunder and lightning? Dallas or Tampa Bay takes a 2-1 lead in the Stanley Cup Final. The puck drops just after 5 Pacific. On the diamond last night, the Dodgers clinched the NL West and the top seed. The Braves won their 3rd NL East in a row, and the Cubs and Indians got their spots. And Notre Dame football will not play at Wake Forest Saturday because of a COVID-19 outbreak on the roster. 7 players have tested positive, 13 total are in quarantine. DA, back to you.
Thank you, Bogues. Appreciate it. As the landscaping company fires up behind you, our next guest is a Pro Football Hall of Famer. Titans and Vikings coming up on Sunday with play-by-play voice Andrew Catalan. James Lofton joining us this morning on the show. He'll be on that call. James, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, James, although I got to say I've been bummed out by the news of the passing of Gale Sayers. I knew that he was not in great health, but Gale Sayers is truly one of the legends of the game. I know that he played before your time, but what are your memories of Gale Sayers as a dynamite kick return and running back in the NFL?
Well, I think he was one of the first players that I heard my dad utter his nickname. And his nickname was the Kansas Comet. And when you're a little kid and you hear that, you know that a comet streaks through the sky. And you're going, where is Kansas?
Yeah.
You knew that that was where the Wizard of Oz was. So here's a player that was kind of like a mythical figure. And he played that way on the football field. And he was such a great gentleman off the field. And when I first got to Green Bay, there was a beer company that had hired him as their spokesperson, and it was for Stroh's Beer. And he had this tagline, "I got to get my Stroh's," and it showed him, like, running down the street. And so, you know, he was a wonderful player, great man, and just somebody that I knew of it from a very early age and had the opportunity to get to know a little bit as a fellow Hall of Famer.
Sometimes when you see footage from the 60s and look at Hall of Famers, there's a great deal of respect that you have for them, but you wonder if they would be able to be that great in today's NFL where mm-hmm. size and speed is at such a different level. I've always felt like Gale Sayers would have been great no matter what generation he played in. Had he played today, he would have been a Hall of Famer as well, and maybe even a better career because health would have been better with his ACL and his knee, which got torn up. And back then, that was kind of a death knell for your career. Do you think that Gale would have been productive in today's NFL?
No, he would have been dominant. think about him in the open space. Think about him in a Sean Payton offense. Think about him running some of the things that running backs are allowed to do now. And the fact that you can't lead with the helmet, you can't clothesline him as he's coming through the line of scrimmage. Yeah, the Kansas comment would have been pretty good in 2020.
Adrian Peterson rips his ACL, comes back within the calendar year, and has one of his best seasons ever. You know, for Gale Sayers, it was basically the end of his career as we knew it. Mm-hmm. He had a couple more seasons, but never as dynamic. James Lofton joining us this morning here on the show. You've got Titans and Vikings coming up, and let's look at the Vikings because right now they seem to be in a bad way. Do you think that they're missing Stephon Diggs, or is there something else that's amiss with that offense?
Well, I think when you have had a player who found his mark in the NFL. You know, Diggs came in as a fifth-round draft pick, so he didn't come in super heralded. Maybe he came in feeling a little bit slighted. I said the thing about him is that I thought he plays like a bully, but I mean that in a very good sense. And, you know, there are guys who are a little bit bigger. There are guys who are a little bit faster, but you don't find as many guys as tough as Stephon Diggs. So he and Adam Thielen were really a great 1A and 1B combination. And, yeah, I think the Vikings are missing that a little bit. But I think more so it's just been a little bit of leaky protection, especially early in games, for Kirk Cousins. And he is a quarterback that, as you're watching him, and if you're a Vikings fan, you're going, I wish he could move like some of the other guys. Well, that's not his strong suit. So he really is a pocket passer. Yeah, they can get him out of the pocket a little bit, and he has enough agility to get away now and then, but he's not a runner. And so you really need to protect him in the pocket. And the young receivers have to come through for him, and I'm pretty sure they will as the season progresses.
Been tough times for the Minnesota Vikings, but for the Tennessee Titans, they've kind of picked up where they left off last year. It's not always pretty with Tennessee. They kind of bludgeon you to death, but they find ways to get it done. Is this kind of the way that they want to play as well? This is the way that they're comfortable winning?
You know, it's interesting. Mike Vrabel is, you talk about people being a chip off the old block, and he really is a chip off the old block in terms of having played for and worked for Bill Belichick. Never satisfied, but... And I asked him last week, I said, is kind of your theme to your team, no complaining, no excuses? And I expected him to kind of co-sign that. He said players are always complaining. If you go outside, it's too hot. If you go inside, I don't like being inside. If you're going to work on short yardage, I don't like work. He said players are always going to complain about something. You just have to get them to do it. And I think he's just a very stern coach. You know, he has a look about him and a command about him that the players know that they have to perform. And, you know, you go down their roster and you go, well, there might be a little bit of a hole here or a hole there, but players just perform. And, you know, with Derrick Henry, you're right. You can pound people. And I think on defense, you watch the way that they fly around. And so part of their mantra is that they want to be the most physical team, and they don't mind that. So they're going to win games different ways. And in the first 2 weeks, they won, with a shaky kicker, and they're sitting there 2-0, and moving forward.
When you look at some of the teams that are 0-2 right now that maybe thought they had designs on the playoffs but now find themselves at 0-2, do you think if you drop to 0-3, it's salvageable, like a Viking squad, like an Eagle squad, or do you think that 0-3 basically takes them out of the running?
It depends, and what a great answer, huh? It depends on who you're chasing in that division. If you were the favorite coming in, then maybe you had a chance. But you know, you look at the Carolina Panthers and the Atlanta Falcons; they weren't the favorite in those divisions. You look at the Vikings; they might have been one of the few teams that, yeah, some people picked them, but you know, because other people didn't want to pick the Packers, they weren't impressed with the Packers 13-3 a year ago. The fact that the Packers, I think, had played in 9 one-score games, and they won 8 of those. You know, you're going, well, that's going to balance out. But, yeah, when you start out 0-2 and you're trending in that direction, I think then you have issues. And I think the one team that maybe it's salvageable, but the Houston Texans, when they traded DeAndre Hopkins, I thought, I've seen the Texans play in person. I've met with them, and I know the relationship between Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins is about as good as it gets. I just didn't understand that for a contract issue.
No doubt. What a security blanket he was for a young quarterback, and Hopkins is making another young quarterback look real good, Kyler Murray in Arizona. And right now the Texans are 0-2. Before I let you go, you did the Bills game against the Jets back in week one. You saw Josh Allen. Allen's had 2 very good games. Do you think that he has turned the corner to become more consistent at starting quarterback for the Bills?
I think he has the destination on his GPS.
That's a good way to put it.
You know, I was shocked in week one when he went over 300 yards and our statistician, Mike Nataro, said that's his first 300-yard game of his career. I said, what? Because you just thought that maybe he had already had a big game like that. He had 9 rushing touchdowns the year before in 2019, which was a big deal. And all of them were down in the red zone. So he 300 yards the first game. And then last week, 417. And yes, they beat the Jets and they beat the Dolphins. But it's not about who you play. It's about how you play. And so their offense with Stephon Diggs and others is playing well right now. So not a surprise, but the exclamation point will be when they face the Patriots.
The NFL on CBS. Coming up, Vikings and Titans. James Lofton, Andrew Catalan and company have the call coming up this Sunday. Pro Football Hall of Famer James Lofton joining us this morning on the show. James, I always love our conversations. Thanks so much for doing it. Enjoy the game coming up on Sunday. Hopefully we'll talk again soon.
Thank you. We will. Thanks.
Thanks. James Lofton, our guest this morning on the show. Excellent stuff as always. What a show it has been. When we come back here on the DA show, we've got an epic fail for you, and I'm going to read through some of the tweets that I really like today. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
Morning, DA. How you doing? So I caught up on your Nomad show, and I really think it's excellent that you do that when you go to places. Me, as a fan of your show, I now feel a little bit closer to you as a sportscaster, even as just an individual.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Watch the Nomad series, 80-plus episodes of my travels around the globe to go watch sports and eat good food and drink good drink by going to YouTube and searching my name and Nomad. Subscribe and follow the entire series and watch them all. You can watch them on your phone or smart TV or anywhere else that you have YouTube. We'll get to your epic fail coming up here on the show. Richard tweets, I just had a thought. Could we forego the 12 DAs of Christmas and just make December the month of Mraz? The Quaker Oats guy is an all-timer. It was an all-timer, but remember that we have the Year of the Buffoon, which is essentially a 15-minute montage annually of all of the crazy, idiotic things that Mraz said over the course of the calendar year. So basically, December is the month of Mraz. Patrick tweets, DA, thanks for the great segment on mental health and flipping the script on fear and negativity. Those skills are the key to opening so many doors for yourself. I'm not sure why we still tend to dismiss it or even stigmatize it. It's probably fear, for one. We had Nick Willenda here on the show of the Willenda family, and as a daredevil, a thrill seeker, as a guy that scales volcanoes, you know, he knows a lot about facing fear and going to negative places if you allow yourself to. So it was a great conversation. If you're so inclined, I highly encourage you to listen to it on our podcast. Just go to your favorite podcast platform, search The DA Show, and you'll see the Nick Willenda interview from today, which I think you'll really enjoy. Mariana tweets, Mraz having to put his feet up after too much sodium, eating huge amounts of sweets, uncontrollable food urges. Mraz, are you pregnant? Sounds a lot like it. Speaking of, let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. Here's what Mraz says happens when he has too much of a sodium intake. In fact, his eyes end up becoming one size too big. Here's your epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Mraz, do you still get insecure about the size of your eyes?
Yeah. Yeah, one eye, I still get it a lot of people going, your one eye gets funky, but it's only at times for some reason. It's not, I don't have a consistent lazy eye. It chooses to be lazy, I think, when I'm being lazy. I don't really know. Maybe it's a lazy gouge.
Is it possible that it's due to puffiness with sodium, that just one of your eye sockets gets puffier when you eat a lot of salt?
Oh, I'm so full, my belly, I pigged out.
Perhaps, yeah, but it's really, it like shrinks, it grows. There's definitely something going on. All this while I have 20/20
that
vision.
That sounds serious.
It shrinks, it grows.
And that magical feeling pulsates through the shaft.
How are your feet doing in terms of the swelling when it comes to eating all your salty foods? Because we've seen you swell up like a soup dumpling when you've eaten a lot of sliders.
No, I have. But I would say I've managed my salt intake pretty well since the White Castle debacle here on the show. There are times I have a salt problem and I sit back and I just need to lay down. But I know now usually I'm not big on salt when I'm out, so the rush doesn't get there. So if I lay down after having a lot of salt, which I tend to do a lot, put my feet up.
Mm-hmm. I like stuffing.
The rush comes back to my stomach, my moobs, and my head, and it usually keeps away from feet, I guess you want to call it, inflation. So I haven't had a lot of feet inflation lately. I've kept my feet healthy.
So when you have a lot of salt, you actually have to take a breather. It's like an alarm goes off inside your mind. There's an alert, and you're like, I need to get off my feet and lay down.
I'm not a pickle eater. It's kind of like watching your gas tank and your car go down or up. If I know I've gone up too much, if I filled too much with gas, if I filled too much with the salt, my body clicks into, if you will, airplane mode real quick. And I lay it down. We won't waste any of the battery, but we'll relax things. It'll cool the phone a little bit. It'll cool me down.
Pretzel bun?
It's amazing that this body's still ticking.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Mraz is truly a medical miracle. Carla tweets, DA, loved what you guys said about letting negativity and hatred get a hold of your life. Don't let it happen. Preach it, bro. Cigar City Capo tweets, thanks for bringing on Nick Willenda and letting him speak on fear. The mind is a battlefield. We have to reach for the best weapons to win the war. Your post-interview comments were spot on. Grateful to the mothership for being a beacon of hope in darkness. And Craig tweets, love the positive vibe of the show this morning. Also, we should all make time to go fishing. Agreed. It is why I do it, to clear my mind. I actually really love actually catching fish as well. But, you know, you could just find things like taking a hike, taking a walk, listening to music that makes you feel good, reading a book or a memoir or a poem that makes you feel good, thinking about things that make you feel good, flipping through a photo album that makes you feel good, just clearing space in your mind from a lot of the negativity. Nick Willenda was great in talking about this. And I find this to be really important right now, really super important, which is why when Skip Bayless took a shot at Dak Prescott for admitting that he was not in a good mental spot and going through depression, to me, it was really irresponsible. Because today, you know, it doesn't take much to look at the news or to deal with the virus or to deal with all these types of things that have hit us in 2020 and get down and get negative. I mean, it happens to me as well. And you have to remember that you get to control your thoughts. It is not that your mind has control over you. You get to control it. And it takes time and it takes effort and it takes labor, but you can do it. And it's important because a lot of people can be in a really bad mental space right now. So Nick Wallenda's interview was great. I highly encourage you to go back and listen to it in the podcast. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. And thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Be good and be good to one another. We'll see you tomorrow. Rest in peace, Gale Sayers. The Mothership disconnects.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.